Christmas, don't you? Today I have a title, The Gift of Where, When, and How. The message of the gift of where, when, and how. You know, the last 4 or 5 weeks, if you attend this church regularly, we've been talking about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, amen? Talking about how in today's world, with everything going on, we need the wisdom of God, amen? But that's why I want to tell a little bit, and maybe a little different angle from Matthew chapter 2, the wise men. Remember the wise men? Now, we always say the three wise men, but we don't know by Scripture. We have no idea how many wise men it was. But we know that they might have came from a very long distance to the east. See, when you talk about wise men, meaning in the Greek, it means they could have been princes or kings. They could have been astrologers to study the stars. You know, we don't know. They could have been oriental scientists. But as I get going through this, think about it, as we read it, that when Jesus was born, not all of Israel knew about the Christ being born. These wise men from the east, they could have come 1,000 miles, come to see the Prince of Peace that was born, amen, of a virgin. And so even, I mentioned this last Wednesday, you had to have been working the night shift to know that Jesus was born, because what happened with the shepherds in the field at night watching over their flock as they saw the angels singing glory to God about the coming Messiah was born. So at that time, you would have had to have been working the night shift to know the Messiah was born. Amen. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, I want to talk. It says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king, verse 3, heard this, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ would be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 7, Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Verse 8, and he said to them in Bethlehem, and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had, verse 11, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. It's interesting, they understood what we'll talk about, the when, the where, and to the how, and how to the most important questions in life. You know, when, where, and how the Messiah would arrive. You know, I'm going to start out with the when. This is amazing, what should I say? Men coming from the east weren't even Hebrew or Jews, but yet they knew when the Christ would show up. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, amen? Makes you wonder, what did they know in the Bible? You know, the Bible gives us answers to things that we're searching for today. And these wise men knew from Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. It says, so you are to know and understand that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks It will be built again with streets and moat and even in times of distress. So in thinking of that, when you tried to look at the time frame when Nehemiah came back and helped restore the temple, the temple again, after they had been in captivity, been in captivity for a 70-year period, they knew from the Word of God to when to look for the coming of the child. From that time when the temple had been rebuilt, you know, they were saying it was like 480 years until the Christ would appear. So these wise men, knowing the Scriptures, hey man, you've heard that saying, wise men still seek Him. And these wise men who came from the east, we don't know how far, somehow from the Scriptures, understanding, interpreting the Scriptures to when the Christ would arrive. When the Christ would arrive. And how about the where? How would they know? Remember in verse 8 it said, and He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. I look at that scripture of Micah 5, chapter 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So they knowing the when, right, and the where, reading the Scriptures, knowing where the Christ child would appear. It's amazing that they taking those Scriptures with that time frame, knowing where to go. And how about the how? In verse 9 it says, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was. I think of part of the book of Numbers 24 and 17. I shall see him, but not now. I wasn't talking about that time frame now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Amen. These wise men, knowing from the Scriptures, amen, knowing, being one of maybe the only few people in the whole world during that time, able by the Scriptures, by revelation, to know when the Christ would show up. We think about it when you read the Scripture. There was no fanfare. Remember, I just said, it was the night shift that got to see the birth of Christ. And these wise men coming, we don't know how many of them, but they came and were one of the only few in the world that could answer the questions of when, where, and how. Amen. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, what is the purpose of when, where, and how? So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, hallelujah, and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Amen. God with us. The three questions that the wise men asked are no different than the questions you and I need to ask this morning. You know these questions. Why am I here on earth? What's my purpose? Amen. Do I matter? Where will I go when I die? People go through a lifetime asking why, where, when, how. Amen. And it's all those same questions that the wise men at that time asked themselves, were able to determine when the Christ child appeared. Amen. You know, mankind on earth is in a precarious position right now. You think of in the Scriptures, like in Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's amazing. Did you know when you're born, when every human being is born, they're in need of a Savior? You don't believe me? Just be around your kid that's 2 or 3 years old. Amen. Yeah, if you're a parent, you feel like at that point you need a Savior. But they have to be trained. We're not born automatically being perfect or doing the right thing. Is that true? Every individual is born. Thank you, Adam. Since the time of Adam, every individual is born in the world needing a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. All sin. Only God is perfect. Amen. Only God is perfect. No other person, no individual on earth is perfect. And then, of course, in Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Wow. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You know that scripture, John 3:16 and 17, don't you? And we know John 3:16. I'm going to read that right now. For God so loved, why did he come into the world? Why was he born of a virgin? What was the purpose, if we think about the reason of Christmas? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world, listen, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God's purpose of coming into the world born of a virgin wasn't to condemn you, but it was to save you and I. The message of Christmas is the Savior has arrived once and for all. We look at him as a baby child born of a virgin. We read about the wise men, it's amazing how they were able to travel that far and come to the exact house of where the Christ child was. Isn't that amazing? By the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Amen. Do you love him this morning? So you and I understand we need a Savior. We need a scapegoat. So we have to ask ourselves, just like the wise men, when, where, how? I love that scripture when we talk about the when. Second, 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm telling you, he loves you right now. If you don't know the Lord, he loves you. Christmas is a story of redemption of mankind. There is no other way under heaven which men must be saved but through Jesus Christ. Today is the day. Today could be the day, if you don't know him or you haven't made him the Lord and Savior of your life, you can say, Lord, I want to accept your free gift of salvation. Today could be that day. The when is today. It's always the right time. People will say, I'll think about that when I get my career done. Or when, you know, once I've had children, then I'll think about that. I'm too busy right now. Many people push it off. But today is the day of salvation. Amen? He's not an addition in his life. The Word of God in John 3 says you must be born again. He wants to absolutely revolutionize and change our lives. Today is the day. So when is the when? Today. Amen. Thank you, Father. How about the where? Acts 17, 26 and 27 in the Amplified Version say this. And he made from one man, that's Adam, every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed time and the boundaries of their lands and territories. This was so that we, or they, or you and me, so that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grasp for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Amen? He's not far. God's not way far off that somehow you can have to figure out to how to bring him close to you. No, the Word of God said that he is nigh. He is closer than you realize. He's closer than you realize. Amen? The where. Well, the where part of that is in Revelation 3:20. If you know the Lord, you know this scripture. What a powerful scripture. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, do you hear his voice today? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of their heart, is what it is, I will come into him or her and dine with him and he with me. Behold, he stands at the door of our hearts. The where is the Holy Spirit of God wanting to live inside of us. It's not out some here. It's a personal relationship. The where is right here in your heart. Religion teaches that somehow we can draw him closer or somehow we can make him happy if we do certain things. But I'm telling you by what the scriptures say that he wants to change from the heart. The heart of man is what needs to be changed. So the where is in your and my heart. Amen? Well, how? How has this happened? You know, from Romans 10:9 through 11 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wow. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Man, what he's saying is it's by faith. It is by faith declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, putting your trust in the shed blood on Calvary, that man or woman is saved, period. See, it's not your sacrifice, but it was his sacrifice. Amen? It's not your effort, it's his effort. And when you realize that the how was through the shed blood on Calvary, amen? And I'm adding on to that, from that how, I'm adding why. Well, it's because he loves you and I. Jesus shed his blood on the cross because of his love for you. God sent his only begotten son because of his love for you and I, amen? I love what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, say us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All people. He loves all people. Every color, every tribe, every background, regardless of where an individual finds himself now, he loves them. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. It's through his shed blood, and it's him coming into our heart. Amen. That is why 2 Corinthians 9:15. I love this scripture. Simple. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. You can't describe how he changes a life, but he does. You can't describe the goodness that he brings into your life, but he does. Amen. But I can't describe why God would give his only begotten son for my sin, but he did. Amen. We're going to take communion in a few minutes, but I want to do this. I'm going to say a prayer with you guys today. After this service, if you've given your life to the Lord, or if you've rededicated your life to the Lord, I would like to have you come up here and I want to talk with you. I would love to pray with you and talk with you. See, Christmas is about receiving his gift to you. I said Christmas is about receiving his gift to you, his eternal life. Giving you, it says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Nothing can fill the void in our hearts. People try everything, amen? Success, drugs, alcohol, name it. But it will not fill the void that God made us, that's to be filled by the fellowship of his Spirit living inside us. Amen? Amen. Before we have communion, if everybody could say this, you got everybody say this prayer. Let everybody let it come out of your lips. And if this was your first time today doing that, or if you need prayer and saying, I want to commit my life to the one who made me, loved me, and designed me to walk with him. Amen. Can we pray together? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're God. I believe you shed your blood on the cross for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead, and that you're at the right hand of the Father, and that you're coming again for me. Lord Jesus, say it a little louder. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love the salvation message. I don't care how long you've been born again. I love that message of salvation. Something about it just, it makes me come to realize, Lord, in everything that I might deal with in life and their struggles, I always have to remember that his gift to me, salvation, was free. I had to go back and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth whosoever believeth, right, will be saved. Doing it by faith. Amen and amen. We are going to turn our attention to, is there anybody that doesn't have an element? Can you raise your hand? It's just a couple, two, three over here real quick. We'll wait a second. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. If you have this, this could be very challenging. But this little, if you'll flip this thing over here down, it should release the plastic covering on top. If you pull that back, you will have what I believe they call a wafer. And then pull the lid off and you'll have the juice. Amen. Let me just mention today, I'm not being rude. If you don't know the Lord, taking communion doesn't matter one way or the other. But if you know Him as your Savior and you've got struggles, boy, you need to come closer to Him. Let this be a time. See, there's no power in this wafer or this juice. But it's a reminder of His death, what He did for you and I until He comes again. Amen? It reminds us of the power that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a reminder of the power that we have through the Holy Spirit. So take this today saying, Lord, we could all do this. Say, Lord, I've made mistakes this week. I've had struggles, but I still believe in Your blood to wash my sins away. Don't run away from Him. Run towards Him. Amen? That's what we need to do. Amen and amen. So from 1 Corinthians 11, in the New King James Version, starting with 23, this is Paul. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" And so, Lord, we take this in remembrance. We thank You for giving Your body on a cross. We thank You for the stripes that were put upon Your back for my healing. Lord, we thank You for the crown of thorns around Your head for my sound mind in Jesus' name. We thank You that You shed every drop of Your blood on the ground, on that cross, for my salvation. We thank You for that. Father, in Jesus' name, eat the bread together. Amen. And in verse 25, in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He come. He is coming again. Amen. Lord, thank You that by this cup, Lord, representing Your blood, Lord, is the only way that we have right standing with You. It's the only way that our sins are washed away. And by drinking this, we agree with that. We do this until You come again. In Jesus' name we pray. As the worship team comes, would you stand with me this morning? Our Christmas service is a little shorter today. Amen. I don't hear any complaining, though. Boy, this time of year where we've got so many challenges, would you agree with that? putting my focus on what he accomplished for me. Amen? What he did for me this year. Through this week, you know, Christmas, it can be stressful if you let it. But I would just encourage you to focus on him being born of a virgin, living that sinless, perfect life, and then the ultimate thing, hanging on a cross for our sins. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing another song, and then you are free to go, okay? Like I said, if you prayed, if you need prayer, please come up this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, just pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for your goodness, Father, with us. Lord, we pray during the rest of this Christmas season, those that we might gather with, Lord, we pray for your peace. Father, we pray for your strength. Lord, we thank you for harmony, Father God. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ coming out of each individual that knows him in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that during this season, Lord, that we can walk in your joy. Jesus says, my peace I give to you. The world can't give us peace, but he can give us peace. So, Lord, we receive of your peace this morning. We thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.